This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Angels Recap Podcast, a review of the past week in Angels baseball.
2-0 on Trout. This one is crushed. Left center field way out of here.
Now here's your host, Trent Rush.
Oh, it feels good to be talking some Angels baseball with y'all right now. Hey, Trent Rush here. Yes, we are excited to be back with the Angels Recap Podcast 2024 underway. A lot to get to when it comes to Angels baseball, and we are celebrating the start of the season. Would we like to see the Angels have a little better record at this point in the season? Certainly. But there is a lot to get to here, a lot to cover on this edition of the Angels Recap Podcast. I say that first because before we get you to our next guest, I just wanted to take a moment to tell you about some things going on here with the Angels Recap Podcast. And it was so cool having so many people, a lot of new fans, a lot of people that maybe hadn't heard our podcast before, came out during our Halo's Hot Stove edition of the Angels Recap Podcast where, you know, yes, I'm on with Roger Lodge on our flagship station, AM 830, every afternoon, and we talk Angels baseball. But, you know, from the podcast space, during the offseason, there's not a whole lot going on. And then we get into spring training, and there's been a lot of action. And one thing that's cool about where we're at now is we're going to start having players for you on a very regular basis. And we're going to do so in a couple of different ways. First things first, this podcast that you're listening to right now is not going to change. We're going to continue to do this podcast. We're just going to do a little bit more frequently, and excited to be bringing you that on a more regular basis here on this podcast. But in case you are someone that likes to watch podcasts or really desires that video element, we're going to have the Angels Recap Podcast be available in a video space as well. It's going to be available on angels.com. It's going to be available at a lot of different places, Angels YouTube, all over social media. We're going to have a bunch of places where you're going to be able to find this podcast, not just the audio version that you're listening to right now, but also in the video space. So share it with your friends. Let people know what's going on because we have amazing fans. The following was and the feedback from the Hot Stove shows was really, really cool. And we had Mike Trout on during the Hot Stove. And we had a really, I think, kind of enlightening conversation. And there were so many things that Mike said in that interview that when you got into spring training and early parts of the season, you can start to see where Mike was at and how some of that is going to come to fruition. And already we are seeing it. Mike Trout, talk about base running. Mike Trout, in that interview that we did late January, early February, we were talking about how Mike wants to attack the base paths and what he's going to do differently. And he said, hey, I might not be a 40 bag guy anymore, but I can steal 20. And already Mike Trout, here we are 25 games into the season, has 5 stolen bases. So clearly, if you are someone that listens to this podcast on a regular basis, you got tipped off of what this year might look like for Mike Trout already. And it's cool watching. Mike is back with a vengeance, and he's hit 10 home runs already this year. Really fun watching that power. Now, for Mike Trout, delivering with runners in scoring position, that's going to be something that it's going to come around at some point. And it always has. But right now, that's maybe the next step he's got to take here for this Angels season. To help get back on track, Mike is a huge part of it. There are so many other guys that are a big part of it right now. From a pitching perspective, watching Reed Detmers dominate like he's doing, finally we are seeing the Reed Detmers that you've heard me talk about for a really long time. He's had all the tools, and he's piecing it all together. I say finally. What's Reed Detmers? 24 years old? I mean, seriously. It's exciting watching his progress and his development right there. and we're getting to watch it every single day. Tyler Anderson has been so good. He may not have the record to show for it. He's 2-3, but with a sub-2 ERA. We are seeing really good starting pitching performances by the Angels, and that has been so much fun to watch. But on this podcast, I don't want to take too much more time here leading up, and we have a lot more to cover on the back end. But on this podcast today, we had a sit-down interview with Mike Trout, and we're going to have that for you here. And if you'd like to watch the video is going to be available as well, so you can also check that out. But we chatted with Mike Trout, and we did close to 15 minutes going through. We talked about how he views his legacy. We talked about his approach to this season. We talked about how things may be different now with Mike Trout and the Angels, of Mike being the man without another guy. It's been a while since the Angels have had a situation like that. And how is he adapting to that? What was he able to learn from superstars and stars that he was around early in his career that now he's able to pass on to the next wave of talent that is coming through? It's an interesting place Mike Trout is in. And that's why we wanted to share that conversation with you now. I'm sure later in the year, maybe we probably will talk with Mike Trout again on the podcast at some point. But not just Mike. We're going to bring you a bunch of guys. And that's what this show is going to be about moving forward. So we're going to have a bunch of player interviews coming up. Download, subscribe, rate, review, do all that. It helps a ton. Pass it along to your friends, because I think what Mike Trout talks about here is going to be stuff that's pretty interesting. So without further ado, here now is our conversation with Mike Trout. Joined now by the three-time MVP, Mike Trout, with us here in the radio booth. Mike, first of all, welcome to the booth. Welcome to see where all the magic happens up here. It's good to be with you. Things are different for the Angels this year. Things are different for you this year, as things seem. Even we just were taping this the night after you get moved to the leadoff spot and you hit a home run, your first at-bat in the leadoff spot. I would just love to know about a little bit of the dynamic that you guys have going on with this team right now. And I know not quite a month in, but how are things seeming just with the changes that have happened around Angels baseball in the last 6 months or so?
For sure. We're growing as a team. Yeah. You know, I think, the message is come in every day, work hard. Obviously – went through a little skid there for a little bit. Lost some close ones over the road trip. Got a good one last night. As much needed one last night, but the guys are believing. Like you said, the coaching staff they brought in is just, the message is just trust in the work, keep working, things will turn, and it's all growing experiences and growing, pains you go through to get some W's. So it's a learning experience for the younger guys. And it's just like I said, we come in every day, work hard. You see everybody out here early, getting to the park early, working on our swings, working on the infield, working on the outfield. Just attention to detail is going to be key for us to winning games.
We heard Ron Washing say yesterday that, when he went to you to ask if you'd be okay as being the leadoff guy, you're like, sure, Skip, whatever you want to do. I'm not sure everybody would answer like that. Why do you?
Whatever he's the manager, whatever he thinks if you want to shake some things up, shake it up. It doesn't matter where I hit in the lineup. I look at it as I'm going to hopefully get five at bats tonight, get an extra at bat. And, I'm not going to change anything. I just, when he came up to me, I knew I had an idea that was going to happen. Yeah. Not necessarily leadoff, but just, just to switch things up, and it worked last night for sure.
Is that something that's maybe difficult to adjust to though? I mean, you've seen you hit third at second now in the leadoff spot this year. No difference.
No. You're still up there. Yeah. Hitting the ball. So there's no approach difference. Same approach, just different spot in the lineup.
You're talking about some of the changes with the Angels this year. I mean, we look really the last 10 years. There has been another megastar that's with you. And Anthony is a big-time player. But, Mike, it does feel like this is kind of the time. You're the man of this team, and I know that it's been that way for a while. But in some sense, there's maybe not that other guy. Are things maybe different from your sense, maybe in terms of your role as a leader on this team because of that?
For sure. I mean, I when I first came up, like I said, I had a lot of guys that I could lean on, a lot of leadership. And now I'm, 13th year in, it's my turn to do it. And I, the younger guys that come in the clubhouse every day, I go up to them and they come up to me. And I'm trying to teach them as much as they can, to succeed out on that field. And, you know, the younger guys that are coming up, you know, the Ohapis, the Nettos, the Nolans, they want to learn. They want to work. And, you know, it's good to see, you know, to see them every day come in, work, and work. You know, try to get better and try to perform on that field. So,
what would you hope maybe they can get from you when you're teaching these things?
Yeah, just to, you know, be a complete player. I think that's the biggest thing. You know, they got all the talent in the world. You know, just to be up here and just be themselves. Yeah. You know, I think a lot of guys, you know, come up here early in their career. They try to be somebody that, you know, they're not going to be. You know, I think what got them here is how you're going to succeed. Sure. Up here. I think a lot of people that come up and they try to do too much, put a little more pressure on themselves, and things start building up. I think that's when you get in trouble. And I think once you learn how to control that, it's hard. You know, you get up here on a big stage, it's like, you know, you want to hit that 500 foot home run. You want to do great every single time, but this game's hard. So it's to be able to just take a deep breath, embrace the moment, trust your process, trust your work, and go out there and play your game, be yourself.
That guy for you coming up, I know you talked about it, Torrey Hunter. Mm-hmm. And it was really fun seeing Torrey at the ballpark a little bit earlier this season. He did bounce the first pitch. I would imagine.
I picked it, though.
I know you did. You did a nice job.
Yeah, I picked it, though.
You give him a hard time about that?
I did. Well, yeah. I'm sitting in it. I know I had to catch the first pitch. So let me backtrack here. So I knew I was catching the first pitch. I'm in the cage warming up, and he comes in, and it was after I took some swings off the machine, and I'm sitting there in a chair, you know, I just got a nice sweat, and I look up, and I see Torrey walk in the cage, and there's a bunch of balls on the ground. Just walks in the cage, and he picks up a couple balls, and he's like crow hopping into the net. I said, bro, all you got to do is just lob it in there. He said, no, I'm letting it eat. I said, all right, here we go. So I was kind of ready for it. I didn't think he was going to spike it, but it's all fun. I picked it, and I was giving all the infielders some crap. How, you know, I still got it. I played shortstop in high school.
I was going to say, that was pretty nice.
Yeah, I picked it. Yeah, yeah. It might have been a little lucky, but hey.
Look, hey, whatever it takes. Yeah. That doesn't matter. Well, you talk about, you know, Torrey Hunter and your guys' relationship, always a good one. I kind of want to go back. I know that a lot's been made out of this, but I'd be curious to know maybe some of the reasons why. Derek Jeter was your guy growing up, and we all know the Derek Jeter legacy. What was it about Derek Jeter that made him that guy for you as a kid? I know the area, but what was it about him that stood out to why he was maybe someone you wanted to emulate?
Played hard every day. Never saw him hit a ground ball and not run it out. Little things that, you know, you respect and appreciate on a baseball field. You know, obviously all the championships, that's obviously comes with it. But the way he handled himself on the field, I've never seen anything like it. Yeah. You know, couldn't tell if he was 0-for-4 or 4-for-4. He was the same guy. You know, it was kind of how I wanted to, you know, how to, you know, make him the way I play. Sure. You know, I think showing effort every single play, not taking a play off, and I just love the way he handled himself.
And he also begs the question of the Derek Jeter legacy and what he was able to mean, and obviously what he meant to that city. I mean, Mike, what you mean to Angels baseball, what you mean to Southern California is significant. You ever think about that stuff? You ever think about legacy?
Yeah. I mean, I'm getting in the year 13. It's starting to kick in, but, you know, I still go out there and I don't try to look at other things off the field. You know, maybe sometimes in the off season it pops up, but, you know, I still come to the ballpark like a little kid, like I'm going to a little league game, man. I just enjoy playing this game. And, you know, all the other stuff that comes with it, it's great stuff. But, you know, I just go out there and play my game.
So when we talked back in, I guess it was January, or maybe early February, we were talking about how you wanted to approach this season and talking about your role as a base runner and want to steal bags. And you said, hey, I might not take 40, but I certainly could take 20. Yeah, yeah. Well, you got 5 already, Mike. That's off to a pretty good start. How have you felt about how that process has gone of you on the base paths?
It's been great. You know, it's a game within a game. Just, you know, you get on first and just trying to pick up cues from the pitcher. You know, Some guys make it really easy, you know, with a high leg kick. There's a lot of great catchers nowadays with good arms, so there's a lot that comes into play as well. But you know, if they're going to be, you know, 1-4, 1-5, I'm going to try to take it every time. So it's been fun. I'm enjoying it. It brought back some crazy memories when I was in Tampa, when I stole two bags, stole second and third. Felt like I was a young kid again. I'm enjoying it, man. Just like I said, I'm having fun out there, and yeah, that's all you can ask.
But you look good. You look like you're, I mean, really good shape coming to the season. I mean, you do most years, but seriously, I mean, was that something that this offseason, like, hey, I'm going to try to get faster. I'm going to try to do that. Was that ever a part of the plan?
Yeah, I mean, every year you're trying to get better in something. No, I just knew I still had speed. I mean, the sprint speed's still up there. We talk about it every day, you know, Juice and I, the trainer, or the strength coach, and, you know, he's got me on a great program where I'm working out every day and just, you know, something just to get the body moving. I think over, you know, my past couple of years, I would, you know, work out, you know, 3-4 times a week, but it wasn't like every single day where I was getting the body moving. I think we got a nice little routine going right now, which I love. And I look forward to coming to the ballpark and doing that and just keeping my body in a good spot.
I guess it begs the question, right? Because we see how fast you are. We see that you're able to steal bases. I'm just kind of wondering, like, maybe why didn't we see you steal bases for a while? Because early in your career, that was, like, such a huge part of your game.
Yeah. You know, I think the biggest thing was the back, when the back happened. Mm-hmm. You know, diving head first. I'm not a guy that likes to slide feet first. So I think that came into play. I think we were just trying to do whatever I can to just be on the field. And, you know, sometimes – I'm not saying this is what – I don't know the formula.
Sure.
To doing that. But, yeah, I think there's just – you know, I was buying in too. You know, I was like, hey, whatever I can do to, you know, stay out on that field, let's try it. And, you know, it wasn't working. So let's just go out there and just be myself. So, yeah, it's – I'm, like I said, I'm enjoying it.
Just get out and do it. Hey, okay, I got to ask you this too. We learned that number two is on the way for Jess. A, how's she doing? B, how excited is Beckham?
A, she's doing great. Yeah. You know, I just the ultimate respect for a woman carrying a child. it's especially when you're getting close. You know, it's just you appreciate things a lot more.
Sure.
But she's doing great, healthy baby. Looking forward to it. Beckham's really excited. He wanted a sister when we first found out, but now he's excited. He's going to get a little brother.
Okay.
I said, "Hey, bro, you'll enjoy it," you know.
Yeah.
But we're looking forward to it. You know, she's from a big family. I'm from a big family, so you know, we're blessed. So.
That's awesome. Well, I'm happy to hear that, Mike. Seriously, thanks for the time today. Really appreciate you, and looking forward to seeing you continue what you're doing this year, and should be a fun one.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. That's Mike Trout, ladies and gentlemen, and we appreciate him giving us the time to have that conversation and be able to share some fun stories with you. How great was that Torrey Hunter story, by the way? We got to get Torrey Hunter on this show. We got to find a way to have Torrey Hunter on here because I think now with Mike talking a little smack there to Torrey Hunter, I think we need to hear the other side. And look, hey, Torrey did get bailed out by Mike Trout there. That was a pretty nice back pick that he made. And hopefully you're able to see the video there if you missed it. Second home game of the season when Torrey Hunter threw out the first pitch. He's now a part of the Angels organization in the front office. And I think that Torrey Hunter is going to be able to bring a lot to this Angels baseball team. You know, we mentioned at the top just for a moment about what we have seen in regards to the pitching and how the Angels had a few guys really step up and be good. There are a few other players that I think we have to talk about here and what we're seeing at this point start to just come alive here. And I think one of those players is Taylor Ward, and another interesting player that I'm sure we'll get on the show at some point too. 277 batting average. Guys hit 7 homers already, 23 RBI, stolen a couple of bases. And for Taylor Ward, here's a player that 2 years ago, in the start of the 2022 season, first half, he's looking like he is an all-star. Crashed into the wall, really wasn't the same guy that year the rest of the way. 2023 gets off to a slow start. Middle of 2023, bat starts rolling a little bit. All of a sudden, we're seeing that early 2022 Taylor Ward again. And then in a game in Toronto, right before the trade deadline, you see Taylor Ward take a 92-mile-an-hour sinker that didn't sink, hits him in the face, multiple facial fractures, big surgery required. And you're left wondering, okay, what is Taylor Ward now going to be? Is he going to be able to put this behind him? Or is it going to be a situation where when he steps into the batter's box, maybe it's tough on him when pitches come inside? And is he going to be able to have that mental strength, that mental toughness to commit to staying in the batter's box and not flinching and not letting that become detrimental for his career? Well, Taylor Ward has met that challenge and exceeded that challenge in just a phenomenal way so far. I just read off the numbers to you, but he started hitting again in November. And watching Taylor Ward now, you would never know that any of that ever happened. And what a testament to him. I think Taylor Ward has shown defensively to be a lot better. So, you know, the last couple of years, he's really improved on the defensive side. I actually don't think Taylor Ward gets enough credit for how far he's come along as a defensive player. But his swing is sweet. And at this point, we're watching a player put together a year where he's at an 840 OPS on top of all of that. Really impressive stuff from Taylor Ward. He hit a big two-run homer in that final game against Baltimore that you thought we might see Ward get back in there. We see the Angels get back in that ball game because of that home run that he hit, and it was a huge two-run shot. But he has been timely. And that's been something that I think for the Angels is going to be big moving forward. And as we're on the subject of the outfield, I think we're also witnessing the blossoming of Joe Adell. Now, don't get me wrong. We've all seen Joe Adell have mistakes on the base paths. And he was called out stealing second base, caught stealing to end that game on Wednesday, which was absolutely the wrong call. Video evidence showed it was clear. Now they went back to New York and ultimately, the MLB replay officials decided that the evidence was inconclusive, but we all saw the video. We all saw Joe's foot hit second base before Gunnar Henderson's tag hit his leg. We all saw that, but they didn't see it in New York. Anyway, Angels end up losing the game. Joe Adell right now has had some really hard luck with that. You know, he had a stolen base from a couple of nights ago that was taken away. They called it indifference. Should have been a stolen base. He's got five, though. When really, he should be at seven right there, and then there's been a couple of others. I think he had one other one where he was called out and video review. I thought he was in there, and that got reversed too. So Joe really should be at seven or eight stolen bases right now. And you can't deny the fact that he's had some mistakes on the base paths and he's got to improve. But what I'm loving is the bat for Joe Adell. Here's the numbers. 316 batting average, 925 OPS. Two home runs, six RBI, and he's hitting the ball to all fields. Both home runs, by the way, for Joe Adell, the opposite way. And that's a good sign. He is not pulling fastballs. He's hitting fastballs up the middle. He's hitting fastballs the other way. Then when you throw him the breaking stuff, he's pulling that and hitting it a country mile. Love what we're seeing right now from Joe Adell, his plate discipline, the way he's making contact. And the big thing, too, Joe Adell is really cutting down the strikeouts, and that's going to be a difference maker for him. When you look at this season, he's had only 38 at-bats, but 10 strikeouts, that's a much better percentage than where he was a year ago when he had 58 at-bats, struck out 25 times. You know, 2 years ago, in 88 games, 268 at-bats, he had 107 strikeouts. He is reducing the strikeout number. He's making more contact. He's having more contact for power. And he doesn't need to try to pull the ball. He's so strong, he can hit it the other way for homers, and he has done that already a couple of times. I'm really impressed by the blossoming of Joe Adell. And he's only 25, and that's going to be a theme we see for the Angels this year, about these players that are going to be getting opportunities, young players getting opportunities, and you're going to find out what they're made of and who these players really are. Joe Adell's been touted as being the man for a long time. He hasn't been that yet at the big league level, but you're starting to see the signs going that direction. Another one of those players. And the Baltimore series was interesting to me because of, I don't want to say the dichotomy, but because of the pairing, because of the matchup. Adley Rutschman for Baltimore is widely considered to be the best young catcher in baseball. You talk to people in and around the game, they'll tell you Adley Rutschman's that guy. I was talking to a lot of other people in the game about another catcher, and many people believe is the next guy, and that would be the Angels' 24-year-old Logan Ohapi. And not only is Ohapi guiding this pitching staff to a much better place than where they have been in a while, but he's hitting 311 doing it. A couple of home runs, has driven in 9, OPS 829, and I think that OPS is only going to get better. Logan Ohapi has a chance to be like a cornerstone guy for the franchise. He's got a bobblehead night coming up next week against the Phillies, the team that he was a part of for some time. And yeah, April 30th. Logan Ohapi bobblehead night, April the 30th. How cool is that? And he deserves a bobblehead. He's the kind of player that deserves that. He has earned it already, even at 24 years old. And when you think about the future and the promise of what Logan Ohapi's career could look like, very, very exciting. And we're seeing that already right now. Zach Neto, last couple of games, 3 RBI hits the last 2 games. That's a good sign for a player that got off to a little bit of a slow start to begin this season. You like to see these young players getting it rolling right now. Now, all that being said, the Angels have not been totally immune from the injury bug. There have been some key injuries already in this season, and this Angels' depth is being tested, especially over at third base, where Anthony Rendon has suffered a hamstring injury. We don't yet know the severity of that hamstring injury, but he's been placed on the IL. Miguel Sano, who then became the everyday third baseman for the Angels, with Rendon going down, is dealing with a little bit of knee soreness. That doesn't sound like it's anything, you know, too big right now, but certainly is something to monitor. Brandon Drury missed 6 out of a 9-game stretch because of a hamstring injury himself. So that's kind of been lingering there. You'd like to see him get back. I mean, he's had a couple of pinch hit opportunities where Drury has come in there, and that's a good sign for sure. He should be close to being on the other side of this thing. And then you look at the pitching. Right now, 2 key players have been banged up, and one of them being Robert Stevenson, who the Angels signed a 3-year deal during the offseason that was supposed to come in and be a huge part of this Angels bullpen at the back end of games. Well, Robert Stevenson had Tommy John surgery. He's done for the season. So Stevenson is not going to pitch for the Angels in 2024. Also, Chase Silseth, who came out of his 3rd start of the year with some elbow inflammation, but it sounds like that's all that is, that the MRI results came back clean and there's no structural damage there. And it sounds like to this point, as long as Silseth can stay on this track and not hurt it any worse, that things could be all right. But it's still going to mean about a month that the Angels, you know, could be without Chase Silseth. So that's a starter, a key reliever, 3 really key infielders for you, all dealing with injuries right now. And like I said, every team is dealing with it right now. What I see, the Boston Red Sox have 13 guys on the injured list. The Angels have had their share of injuries early on, but it's about keeping key players on the field as long as possible, because you do feel like that there is a positive wave of momentum with this Angels ball club, especially with Ron Washington at the helm, changing the culture. Things feel different with this Angels team, and there are some bright spots, absolutely, to look at here 25 games in. Okay, we mentioned Logan Ohapi bobblehead night coming up for the Angels very soon, but this weekend is Star Wars weekend at the Big A. How about this? On Friday night, there is going to be a drone light show. 800 drones are going to be a part of this. It's going to be incredible. It's going to be a long show. It's going to be in conjunction with Angels Marketing and Entertainment, along with Sky Element Drones. It's going to be totally Star Wars theme all the way through. Star Wars music, about the classic story of Star Wars, and it's going to be very, very fun to see. Also, the Mandalorian Rally Monkey giveaway coming up on Saturday as well. And then I mentioned the Logan Ohapi bobblehead on Tuesday, April the 30th. So a bunch of giveaways. It's going to be lots of fun. Star Wars weekend is going to be awesome. We have the Saturday Night Fireworks coming up as well. Of course, that's driven by your helpful SoCal Honda dealers. Really really, really fun weekend in store at the Big A with the Angels taking on the Minnesota Twins and then the Philadelphia Phillies after that. Hey, want to give a special shout-out and thank you to Gregory Hall, Ricardo Zapata, Adam Chochko, Jorge Sevilla, our entire Angels and AM830 crew for helping make this podcast possible. On behalf of all of them, my name is Trent Rush. More than anything else, thanks to you, the fans. You guys are why we do this, and it was pretty cool having Mike Trout on here to get things kicked off for our 2024 regular season, where we're going to have regular Angels players, alumni, coaches, guests coming on, our Angels family, which you are a huge part of. It's going to be well represented here on the Angels Recap Podcast. Of course, you can check out my show, Angels Recap, live after every Angels home game on Angels Radio AM 830. Be sure to give us a phone call. Love getting a chance to talk with Angels fans after Angels games. I'm also with Roger Lodge every afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. on the Sports Lodge on AM 830. Have a great rest of your day. Thanks for being with us. This has been the Angels Recap Podcast.